Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. This is episode 289, and I am your host, Sean Hayes. The 8-Bit Adventures podcast, here to bring you the latest and greatest geeky news of the week. And this week, a lot of sad, unfortunate news, largely revolving around corporate greed. So this will be probably more of an informative than fun episode. But there are some fun things that we have in store for the podcast this week. Thank you all for joining me. We are rapidly approaching episode 300. And I feel like we should probably do something special for that, but I don't know what to do yet. 300 episodes is a very big milestone. Hope everyone's doing well. It seems like summer might finally be on its way out where we are. So it might be spooky season time pretty soon. So that will be fun to finally beat the heat, which is great. My kiddo started school this year, and so like the first 2 weeks of school was absolutely brutal, because it was just so hot and they don't have air conditioning. Apparently, I don't know if it was at his school or if it was at one of the, or I think it was at one of the other elementary schools, but like crayons were melting in the box in the classroom. So it was hot. Kids were just coming home like drenched in sweat, and it's like, oh, buddy. But thankfully things have cooled off a little bit. So, yeah. As for what I've been doing, I was able to do some Lorcana open play, got some league play in, so that was fun. Some D&D as usual. Unfortunately, still no comics. With everything that I got going on, there's a lack of motivation to do it. And then there's stuff going on at work and a little bit of financial pressure. So it's not really in the cards right now. I don't know if it's a case where I just got to start doing it to get back into the rhythm of it. Unfortunately, it was once again kind of in mid storyline. So it's like having to pick back up from that or just toss it. I don't know. I mean, that's a problem, right? Of trying to do, it seems like every time I try and do something narrative, I have some sort of big, major life-altering event that happens in the middle of it that requires me to take a few months off of the comic. And then when I come back in, it's kind of like if you're playing a very long RPG, say something like a Xenoblade or a Baldur's Gate 3, and say you put, 80 hours into it or so, and then you have to take like a month off and then try and come back to it. And you're like, I don't remember where I was at all. What am I doing? For World of Warcraft, let's say you take a couple years off and you come back and you're like, I don't understand anything anymore. That's kind of what it's like for trying to come back into a comic that where you had a narrative. And, at this point, it's like over a year. It feels like anyway. So, yeah, to come back after a year later and be like, oh, what was I even doing? I don't know. So maybe try and get something back into it. But, yeah. So that's what's been going on. Why don't we get right into this week's news, shall we? All right, so let's bring up our news list here. So up first, probably the most exciting news out of this list, is IGN reports that a Bluey video game is in development from Outright Games and BBC Studios. The game will feature all four of the show's main characters and voice actors and include an original story, but you will be able to take a break from the from the main story quest, as it were, to do all sorts of like fun activities that are familiar to those who've watched the show. The game will have four-player co-op, and it seamlessly matches the cartoon's art style. I love it when video games do this, like that are based on an existing IP, where like they match the visual style of that art of that IP, so that, you know, especially like for cartoons, that it makes it look like the cartoon. It's awesome. I love it when they do that. So Bluey the video game, which is what it will be titled, will release on pretty much every platform. So it's coming to Switch, it's coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC on November 17th, 2023. So it's coming out soon. Oh, very excited about it. I'm super stoked. I love Bluey. You know, this looks like a nice cozy game. With all sorts of just little fun mini games and activities. Looking forward to playing it. You know, might even be able to have kiddo play it. He's kind of still learning how to do games. But we might be able to do it. I'm sure it'll be easy enough. It was designed with accessibility in mind. So, and to make it, you know, accessible to all ages. So looking forward to that. Next up, Polygon reports that Massive Monster, makers of Cult of the Lamb, will not, in fact, take the game offline on January 1st. It was sort of put up a tweet threatening that after the whole Unity debacle. But I guess, you know, they've kind of since walked back, and, you know, after Unity, I guess, was like going to investigate further or get things clarified. But they said, oh, no, we're just kidding. We're just kidding. We're not going to pull it from stores. But they did point out they will experience delays on new projects as their development teams have to switch to new engines and learn how to build games in those new engines. Due to Unity's runtime fee nonsense. and that Unity stuff that's going to be a common theme for this episode. So that's just, they had previously announced it. You know, and folks were kind of like, oh, this is really a big deal, like, because that's a really popular game. Like, they're suddenly gonna pull it from Steam, the eShop, you know, the you know, PlayStation store and all that stuff. Like, that's a big deal. And then, you know, they sort of were like, haha, just kidding. Which, you know, I kind of wish they wouldn't do that. Like, especially like if with this kind of situation, like if you're going to make a threat like that, follow up on it, you know? And if you didn't mean it to be a threat, like, then you should make that clear. instead of the, you know, teehee, we were just kidding. I'm not super impressed. But this is a sort of a PSA for folks who were thinking about getting it now, sort of in a panic that they'd have to get it, like before the end of the year. So no, you will not have to panic buy it before the end of the year. It's not going anywhere, apparently. Up next, Dungeons and Dragons news. Phandelver and Below the Shattered Obelisk, their newest adventure book, released today, so September 20th, 2023. The updated starter adventure will include new material, And it takes the adventure all the way up to 12th level, so like a sort of fully fledged campaign. Feature a longer, a sort of more sinister plot. Sort of the initial sort of Phandelver adventure, you know, it kind of started out as just sort of like a sandbox. Oh, like here's all this stuff happening around it. You know, like there's some goblins out in the woods, and you know, there's some kobolds, and there's like some bandits in town that you can take care of. There's like a dragon that's like hanging out somewhere. You know, and then the real sort of adventure gets to when you go to like Wave Echo Cave and you find that there's, you know, basically like a criminal organization holding up in there. So basically expanding it further so that this longer, more sinister plot will include sort of lots of cosmic and body horror. Will also involve mind flayers and lots of other aberrant denizens of the Underdark. So, you know, no doubt to sort of capitalize. Like, obviously, this has been in the works for a while. But I'm sure its timing was released nicely to sort of coincide with the release of Baldur's Gate 3. And sort of, like, piggyback on that, where everybody's got mind flayers on the brain right now. Haha, that was a joke. I haven't gotten a chance to take a look at it yet. Otherwise I would have, you know, put some sort of synopsis on there. But I will, over the course of the week, I'll be kind of perusing through it. I don't have it physical copy. I have it on D&D Beyond. So I'll let you know what my thoughts are, and try and keep it as spoiler free as possible as I can. I didn't mind throwing those details. Like the starter set's been out for like 8 years now. So, and kind of everybody's played Phandelver at this point that is going to play it. So I don't know how many of those elements are being carried over. But that will be sort of one of the things that I figure out and let people know. Particularly like if you were one of those folks who played a lot in the early days of 5e, where you played Phandelver a lot. Because, like, it was kind of the only adventure book out. So, and a lot of folks, like, who were running games for the first time were like, okay, I'm going to get the starter set, and we're just going to run this. So there were a lot of folks who were just running that adventure over and over and over again. It'll be useful to know, like, if there's things that are repeated, or if they changed up a bunch of stuff. So, okay. Next up, game developer reports that the Embracer-owned studios Beamdog and Crystal Dynamics have laid off employees as part of Embracer's restructuring efforts. Now, I talked about this on last week's podcast of Embracer looking to sell off Gearbox. So it looks like they are still doing all sorts of restructuring, trying to shore up their financials after losing out on big, big deals from the Saudi government. Not a great situation. 26 employees were let go from Beamdog, which include producers, artists, and QA staff. So this is typically in the past when we've seen like layoffs with bigger companies like Activision Blizzard, or problems involving like contracts and things like that. It's been QA staff. To see like producers and artists, surprising. So it kind of looks like that they're keeping a lot of the engineers and stuff, probably to do patches and like patch up whatever existing projects are and not move forward with new ones, would be my guess. The affected departments at Crystal Dynamics, which you might know as the studio that makes Tomb Raider, or one of the studios that makes Tomb Raider, include project management, PR, editing, and 2D art. So essentially, their marketing department, like their entire marketing wing. So not great. Also included in that is Crystal Dynamics last worked on that Marvel Avengers game from 2020. Looks like all support for, like, it's not going offline, but all future support is going to be discontinued, like by the end of the year, I think. So yeah, a little bit of a, it's not a great situation. And Embracer is fully to blame for this because they got too big and they got too greedy trying to just buy up everything. And they bought using money they didn't have. And now it's coming back to bite them. And the people who are paying aren't the people who got to make those decisions. So, normally I would go on my rant and mantra of, unions in game development. I don't know if that would have protected them from this or not. Potentially, you know, but at the same time, you know, this is, one of the pitfalls of, can't think of the word, conglomerization? I don't think that's it. But basically, when, you know, when you have, you know, say a financial group that just starts buying a whole bunch of studios to have under its wing, you know, which essentially Microsoft trying to do. Microsoft, on the other hand, is a little bit more solvent than this, where they're not buying a studio and then immediately having to go, oh no, we have no money. So yeah, certainly hearts go out to the employees let go. It's a really terrible, terrible situation. Basically second instance of corporate greed, on this week's podcast. So yeah. Embracer really, really screwing things up. So for a lot of studios that were doing like fine before their acquisition. So yeah. All right. Next up, Silicon Era reports that Square Enix has announced a new tabletop RPG based on Final Fantasy XIV. The starter set will release May 2024 for $59.99. And will include the following items. Will include a player book, a GM book, pre-made character sheets for Warrior, White Mage, Dragoon, and Black Mage, a set of dice, which includes 6d20s and 10d6s, a rule summary, a strategy guide, an encounter map, character tokens, and ability markers. The recommended party size is 3 to 5, including the GM. No idea what this is going to look like what the system looks like or anything. I mean, obviously it uses D20s and D6s, but how it uses those, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work like a D20 system type game, or if it's, I don't know. It kind of came out of left field and we'll have to see. You know, I'm going to try and look up more information as it comes and report on it. I know it's a super popular MMO. So yeah, I mean, and the irony is, we kind of already got like a really good Final Fantasy RPG, like TTRPG. It was called Dungeons and Dragons 4th Edition, and it was sort of like the perfect thing for a Final Fantasy Tactics type game. Just my two cents on that, but yeah, I'll be sure to report any info that I find on this. In the coming weeks. But we do have some time, you know, May 2024 is the set release currently. You know, and $69 or $60, $59.99, that's not a bad price to get what is essentially a starter set. Now I don't know how fleshed out it will be. I'm a little confused as to what a strategy guide would be for the game. D&D kind of had one in third edition called the Hero Builder's Guidebook, which like provided some builds that you could do for certain character types. But the irony was like they weren't anything out of like character optimization. They were just like what the people who wrote the book thought were interesting builds for things. I don't know. Or if the strategy guide is a thing for like how the GM should run the encounters, which I think is interesting and what more games should do. But we'll have to see. It's very interesting. Very mysterious. Next up, Games Radar reports that Relogic, the Terraria developer, plans to donate $100,000 each to two open source engines, being Godot, and FNA, with $1,000 monthly donations to both moving forward. They didn't give any sort of timeline if that ends or anything. So as far as we know now, it just, you know, until they decide not to, they're just going to continue providing $1,000 monthly donations in addition to $100,000 like upfront donation. As a reaction to the whole Unity debacle. In Relogic statement, they quote, unequivocally condemn and reject the recent TOS/fee changes proposed by Unity and the underhanded way they were rolled out. The flippant manner with which years of trust cultivated by Unity were cast aside for yet another way to squeeze publishers, studios, and gamers is the saddest part. That this move was wholly unnecessary pushes things into the tragedy category, a cautionary tale the industry will not soon forget, end quote. So very clear messaging on that. I don't quite know what engine Terraria was built with. I guess it's probably one of those two. This is a case of a company kind of putting their money where their mouth is and using their success to do some good in the world. You know, like, to provide funding for open source platforms so that other indie developers can use them, to not have to worry if their game becomes really successful, it bankrupts them. Very, very cool that they're doing this. And we'll see, you know, how long, you know, it might be 6 months, might be a year. They may just say, we're still raking in oodles and noodles of Terraria money, and we're just going to cut those engines a $1,000 check for as long as we can. It's just very cool of them to do that. Finally, Bloomberg, via a sort of legendary gaming reporter, Jason Schreier, reports that Unity might consider limiting total fees to 4% of a game's revenue and suggests that this limit would apply to customers making over $1 million. Going over, like, if you don't make over $1 million, you know, if like you're a smaller developer, what happens then? But also, the fees would rely on developers' self-reporting install numbers, because that's going to be super, super accurate, especially after you've shown that you want it to be incredibly predatory. And we'll see. I mean, I don't know if anybody would continue using Unity at this point. You know, unless like you were too far in to scrap everything and start fresh. But yeah, the general consensus in the development community seems to be like, yeah, no, this is an albatross. Like this is a dead albatross. You got to dump it. Like, just start fresh. You know, whether it's going with Unreal Engine or Godot or FNA or something else, you know, or building one in-house, like if you're early on in the process. So, yeah. One of the things I didn't know, Pokemon Go was built on Unity, apparently. So, like, that's kind of a big deal. So we'll have to see what happens there, and what actually comes out of all of this. This was supposedly from sort of the all hands on deck meeting that they were supposed to have that then like they canceled due to threats against the company, which, you know, we don't want to threaten, you know, folks should not be threatened, you know, like rank and file employees, like they didn't have anything to do with this decision. This is entirely on their CEO, and their board of directors, which I, you know, I'm sure they have, like this is not a decision that, you know, the rank and file employees at Unity got to make. So, not great that they were threatened and like threatened with violence. Like they were afraid and that's why they like canceled a bunch of those like big town hall type meetings. But this is apparently what came out of that. So we'll have to see like what changes actually stick. Current consensus is that they would do sort of what was expected of when they like the OGL changes went through for D&D, where they announced something really bad and then walked it back halfway to get everybody to be like, okay, well, it's not as bad, so let's go with it, and be like, no, it's still bad. So, yeah. Just, it's a giant mess that, as Relogic said in their statement, was totally unnecessary. So, if anything, I expect probably have if anything, given more market share to Unreal Engine. So congrats, Unity. All right. That is going to wrap things up for this week's episode. Thank you all for joining me. If you would like to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out the website at 8bitadventures.com. If you would like to help support all that content, the best way to do so is to become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. You can support for as little as $1 a month. And regardless of how much, you know, content goes out, it's a flat rate per month. You know, there are some creators that charge like per thing put out. So that way then if stuff picks back up, you know, you're not paying more for that. By paying the monthly rate. Big shout out and thank you to all of the current patrons. Thank you for your continued support, especially in this time as budgets get tight. Opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on notifications. And if you're an audio listener, thank you for downloading this episode. You could also support by rating this 5 stars on iTunes or the podcast app, whatever it is. I don't know anymore. But just by virtue of the fact having downloaded it and listened to it, that is also support. So thank you for that. And with that, I'm going to sign off. So as always, have fun, everyone. Happy gaming and enjoy your pie cake.